There were four siblings that left home for college, and they became very successful doctors, lawyers, and they prospered. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together. They discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother, who lived far away in another city. The first one said, "I had a big house built for Mama." The second said, "I had a $100,000 theater built in the house." The third said, "I had a Mercedes dealer deliver an SL600 to her." The fourth said, "You know how Mama liked reading the Bible, and you know how she can't read anymore because her sight is failing? I met this preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers, 12 years to teach him. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it." The other siblings were highly impressed. After some time had passed, each of them received a thank you note from Mama. She wrote, "Sharon, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway." "Carl, the expensive theater with Dolby sound could hold 50 people, but all of my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing. I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same." "Donna, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. The thought was good, though. Thanks. Dearest Matt, you were the only one to have good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious." Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 15. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. Romans 15, verses 18 through 20. We're still talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. And next week, next Sunday, we're going to begin a series on the blood. And we're going to learn how to apply the blood of Jesus to our life. It's more than just saying, "I plead the blood." But we're going to get into that. So you don't want to miss next week. Well, actually, next week we won't start because Ron Charles will be here, but the following week after that. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 18, it says, "And I will not venture to speak thus of any work except what Christ has actually done through me as an instrument in his hands to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed." How many here has God done a work in? Amen? You are a living testimony. You are a living example that God is real. And all you have to let people know is the work that God has done in you. And for many of you, many who know you have seen the work that has taken place. They knew you as one person, but now they see you as a different person, and they wonder how you got to become who you are now. Amen? And that's an open door. And Paul was saying here that he is going to speak of the work that Christ has actually done. And then verse 19, "And as my preaching has been accompanied with power of signs and wonders." Aren't you glad that our preaching can be accompanied with signs and wonders? Amen? God's not dead. He's alive. And he is still performing his word. He will perform his word to anyone who will believe it. Amen? venture to believe God today. Amen? Believe God for great things. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too hard for our God.
Amen?
Amen? And all things are possible to them that believe. Amen? So the question is, how quickly can you believe? Amen? How readily do you accept God's word as the truth? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that starting from Jerusalem, as far as round as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing, accomplishing, carrying out to the full the good news of Christ the Messiah in its entirety. I'm reading from the Amplified, if you're having trouble following. Thus, my ambition has been to preach the gospel, not where Christ's name has already been known, lest I build on another man's foundation. So Paul particularly sought out people who didn't hear the good news, and he went to places where the good news was not known. And he was a pioneer. I mean, he established these works, and he did it through signs and wonders. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at what it says in verse 20. For the kingdom of God consists of not talk, but power, moral power, and excellence of soul. So God's word consists of power. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And God likes to demonstrate his power. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul is talking here again, and he says, as for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and the evidence or the mystery of God in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. You know, preaching should not be done out of philosophy or man's wisdom. You know, a preacher shouldn't just go to the internet to find a sermon. Amen? And, you know, whether you know it or not, that happens a lot. Not here, though. Amen? Listen to what Paul says. For I resolve to know nothing except to be acquainted with, to make a display of the knowledge, to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's enough knowledge for you. Amen? So Paul didn't rest on his laurels. He didn't rest on his experience. He didn't rest on his training. But what he did rest on was the power of God. Amen? And that's what all of us need to rest on, is the power of God. And verse 3, he says, I was in weakness and in fear and great trembling among you, and my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Say demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. See, God likes to demonstrate that his word is true through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there were Pharisees in Jesus' day, and in John 12 it says, they believed, but they did not confess his name, because they were more afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue than being a Christian. And guess what? The power of God didn't benefit them, because they didn't believe. If you want the power of God to benefit you, if you want the power of God to manifest in your life, you've got to believe it. Amen? If you believe that Jesus is worthy of your praise, then in your actions you demonstrate that, what you believe. Amen? And how would you demonstrate it? Well, you would lose any inhibition of expressing yourself in praise and worship. Amen? But there is a demonstration, there is a power. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to do three things. He comes to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So when a preacher is preaching the message, the good news, he's preaching the gospel, then the Holy Spirit, he's working in everybody's heart. And he is showing things, he is speaking things, and he is doing things. And sometimes what he's doing is unknown to us. But he's in there, he is the one who convinces the people that what is being said is true. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces people. Aren't you glad that you don't have to convince people that Jesus is true? Aren't you glad that you don't have to waste time to prove that God exists? You know? I mean, it's amazing to me that an atheist would fight so hard in something that they claim doesn't exist. But they fight so hard to prove that something doesn't exist. Give me a break. See, but God proves himself through the demonstration of his power. God proves himself that he's the Savior because he reached down to a lost soul and he saves them. He delivers them from evil and he sets them on a clean and right path for their life. And as they allow that change, as they allow themselves to be transformed, then people look at them differently. And oftentimes we see that change evidenced in the Bible with someone giving a new name. Paul, his name was originally Saul. But see, God gave him a new nature, so he also gave him a new name. He didn't want people to know him as Saul the persecutor. He wanted people to know him as Paul the apostle. And it was the work of God that was operating in Paul's life that brought about that change. That was the demonstration that he did. And, you know, miracles and signs and wonders, their goal is to get you to focus on Jesus. Right? When a miracle is done, don't focus on the preacher. It's not how great the preacher is, it's how great God is. Every miracle, every sign, and every wonder of God always points to Jesus Christ. Amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to look at a story here. I'm going to give you evidence this morning that miracles prove who Jesus is. Amen? We need to know who Jesus is. And these signs, wonders, and miracles that he does points to him. Hallelujah. So, Luke chapter 5, we're just going to pick up the story at verse 4 here. Jesus had borrowed Peter's boat and he preached a sermon. Okay? So I want you to know that the gospel was going forth, right? Because Jesus is the Word, right? So if Jesus was speaking, the Word was talking, God's Word was going forth. So when God's Word goes forth, that's what he confirms. Okay? So God had something to confirm to do a miracle. God does miracles through his Word and his Spirit. And he told Peter, he said, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. You ever been where Peter was? You did everything you knew to do, and nothing happened. I did everything that I knew how to do, but nothing happened. All I want to do is go to bed. I don't want to do anything else. And here the Word says, let down your nets for a haul. But even though Peter had no reason to let down his nets other than what God said, so he did it because this man who borrowed his boat preached this message. There must have been something in that message that was working on Peter's heart to let him to let him cast out his nets. Because Peter's flesh certainly didn't want to cast out the nets. But there was something working on his heart while the Word was being preached. That was the conviction power of the Holy Spirit. And so, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. He had no basis but what God said. And when they had done this, they caught what? A multitude, a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat, come and take hold with them, and they came and filled their boat so that they began to sink. Now notice verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down. What did he see? He had just been out all night casting his nets. He didn't catch a thing. But because one man named Jesus spoke a word and said, let down your nets, when he did it because he said it, something happened. See, and Peter fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He was being convicted by the power of God. God was demonstrating his love. Listen, God didn't condemn Peter. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I didn't come to tell you that you're no good, that you can't make it. I've come to tell you that you are good, and I'm going to invest my life into you, and you will make it. Notice verse 9. For he was gripped with bewildering amazement. And all that were with him at the haul of fish with which they had made. Would you say that this particular catch of fish was more astonishing than any other catch of fish they've ever made? Because it caused these partners in this fishing business to react this way. See, because God had a plan for them. He wanted them to trade in catching fish and start catching men. So what did God do? He showed himself as powerful. He showed himself as the one who could produce miracles. He could make something out of nothing. He could cause something into being that wasn't there before. And the way that Peter and his partners reacted tells me that this was a sizable catch of fish that they had never experienced. If they would have experienced this before, they would have said, boy, this was a catch that they had never caught before. This catch was so great and so incredible and so wonderful, it caused them to be amazed. Amen? This is a wonder. What's a wonder do? It'll make you wonder. How did that happen? Go to Luke 7. Glory to God. And let's go to verse 11. Hallelujah. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. How many has ever been to a funeral? Okay? You know what happens at a funeral? And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Well, that's a strange thing to say at a funeral, isn't it? But I want you to know that it was the compassion that he had in his heart. See, compassion will move you to action. And he spoke to her, do not weep. When Jesus said that, did he expect her not to weep? Yeah, he did, because otherwise he wouldn't have said it. And he went forward, because he knew what he was about to do. He went forward and touched the funeral couch, And the pallbearers stood still. And he said to the young man, I say to you, arise. And the man who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Boy, that would be a different funeral of all the other funerals I've ever attended. This man, he was being carried by the pallbearers. He'd probably been dead maybe a couple days. I don't know how long. But usually when someone dies, it takes a couple days for the funeral, right? Because they got to prepare the body. And here they're carrying him. He tells the mother, don't weep. Because I'm about to cause a change to this situation. See, he is the resurrection and the life. And wherever he goes, he's going to produce life. Amen? Maybe there's something dead in your life. Maybe there's something in your life that you've handed over to the pallbearers. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's something on the inside of you. Maybe it's a calling from God that you don't think you'll ever achieve it. Let Jesus come on the scene and let him speak to you. What happened? Verse 16. Profound and reverent fear seized them all. See, miracles glorify God, and they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, a great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people. Hallelujah. See, this miracle caused them to recognize God. Apparently, there was a lot of people in this funeral that didn't know who God was. They had no knowledge of God. How many know that God is willing to do great things to get your attention? You know, listen, some people may be harder-headed than others. And God has to do things. You know, if God's going to do something incredible in your life, he may send an angel. You know, ladies, if you're going to have a baby without knowing a man, you might have to hear it from an angel. Amen? But God is willing to do that so that he can get your attention. Listen, God is always showing people how much he loves them. He is always demonstrating his love. He is always proving by what he does who he is. Now look at verse 17. And this report concerning Jesus spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the country round about. Now at this time, John, who was Jesus' cousin, was in prison. And John was having some doubts as to who Jesus was. Because John wouldn't compromise, and he told Herod the king, he said, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. I'm thankful for preachers who aren't afraid to preach God's word, even to those in authority. Amen? And so John heard this report of this man from Nain being raised from the dead. Verse 19, verse 18, John's disciples brought him word in prison of these things. And John summoned to him a certain two of his disciples and sent him to the Lord, saying, are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? So the men came to Jesus and said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that very hour, Jesus was healing many of sicknesses and diseases, bodily plagues, and evil spirits. And to many who were blind, he gave sight. So he replied to them, go tell John what you have seen and heard. What you have seen and what you have heard is the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are giving your testimony, just tell people what you have seen and what you've heard. A witness in court, when someone is called in a court to testify, they're simply asked what they saw and what they heard and what they know. Right? And they give what they saw. If they were on the scene, they're called an eyewitness, right? Or sometimes they need someone with a particular expertise in the knowledge, they get an expert witness because he has knowledge in that particular field, all right? But he testifies to what he knows. See, God's word is not just to be heard, but it's also to be seen in demonstration. Because God puts his power on display. God wants to touch every one of us every time that he can, and we've got to come with open hearts, we've got to come ready to receive, we've got to come being hooked up to God. Amen? Because the devil will try to hook you up to so many things, the devil will try to keep you so busy that you'll be distracted from God. So, go tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Go to John chapter 2. We're going to spend the remainder of our time today in John. John chapter 2. And verse 11. What was Jesus' first miracle? He turned water into wine. Why would someone turn water into wine? Look at verse 11. This first of his signs or miracles or wonder works Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, notice, and manifested his glory. There are some things that Jesus does to manifest his glory. And when he manifests his glory, it will cause people to believe. It will cause people to recognize who he is. It will cause people to accept his message. It will cause people to come and gather just to hear him because of what they saw and what they heard. Amen? God wants to perform his word in your life. But we've got to want him. We've got to let him perform his word in our life. You know what James says? He says an interesting thing. He says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Why did he tell us that we have to be the ones to draw? Because Jesus has already come. Jesus has already given his life. He's already died on the cross. He doesn't have to do that again. He's already resurrected from the dead. Now the ball, in essence, is in your court. You've got to draw near to God. God is there. You're here. You've got to move to him. You've got to draw near to God. You know what drawing near to God means? It means taking a step. One step closer to God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Amen? God will lead you in steps. And he does his miracle signs and wonders to prove who he is. In this case, he did it to manifest his glory. The Amplified said, he displayed his greatness and his power openly. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have anything to hide? When God wants to do something, you know, he does it to the individual, but he also does it to the body. God does it for people to see and to hear so that they can make a decision. Amen? And then they trusted in him. Go to John chapter 3 and look at verse 2. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know and are certain that you are come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs, these wonderful works, these miracles, and producing proofs that you do unless God is with him. So miracles show us that Jesus is with God and God is with Jesus. Nicodemus had an understanding of who Jesus was by the signs, wonders, and miracles that he did. We know and are certain that you come from God because no man can do what you're doing. Amen? No one can do for you what God can do for you. And these miracles, signs, and wonders, they testify to who Jesus is. Now, how many has ever seen a miracle, a sign, or a wonder? Amen? How many have not? It's okay to raise your hand if you've not seen a miracle, a sign, or a wonder. Does that mean that God is not true? But see, actually, everyone who's been born again has seen a miracle. What's the miracle? You've been delivered from death. Because how did Jesus get into your heart? You have the living God living on the inside of you. You can abide in him, and his words can abide in you. There's a divine exchange. That's a miracle. Why do people fall when we pray for them sometimes? And it's not how you fall, but it's how you get up that matters. What makes a person fall? Do you think that when we pray for you, you have to come up here and fall? Otherwise, if you don't fall, that God's not moving? No, but I'll tell you what, there is power. And when power hits something, something's going to happen. I mean, there was a time in my life when I was in the Czech Republic, and a Swedish evangelist, we were doing a Bible study, and he began to prophesy over me. And all of a sudden, my hands shook like this. For 45 minutes, I felt like this heavy weight was on me, like this heavy. I was like breathing, breathing heavy. I was shaking because there was power on me. Something was coursing through my veins. And see, when I got born again, same thing happened. There are times when all of a sudden I feel like joy is bursting from my innermost being like a Roman candle. You ever see fireworks? They light that thing and it goes, and all of a sudden when it gets to that point, it goes poof, and it blows. That's how I feel like. When joy hits me sometimes, it shoots from me, from my innermost being, goes poof, and when it bursts, that's when laughter occurs. But now, if joy hits you, enjoy the joy. Don't try to stop the joy, because maybe you need the joy. Maybe that might be the very thing that God needs to do in you to loosen things up. Because when you have joy coming out of you like that, there's no burden, there's no devil that will stick around. But you've got to let it happen. Those things are signs and wonders that God does. Falling down is not something new. Because when soldiers came to get Jesus in the garden, and they asked, "Are you the one for whom?" He said, when he said, "I am," he was revealing part of his glory. The whole group of soldiers hit the ground. When John saw Jesus, as he describes in the book of Revelation, what happened when Jesus appeared to him? He hit the ground like a dead man. See, when you get exposed to the power of God, you may not know how that power is going to affect you. But you need to let that power work in you. Amen? Listen, God knows what you need better than you know what you need. Sometimes we just need the joy of the Lord. Like what Nadine said this morning, when you get released from captivity, you're not going to say, "Oh, joy, I've been released from captivity. Look at how wonderful that is. Hey, I've been released from captivity." You're not going to react that way. But so many times when God wants to work in a person's life, that's how we react. We want to downplay. Because the devil, he lies to you. He's going to say, "People are watching. What are people going to think?" Well, what's God going to think? There's nothing more frustrating to a power source than a short circuit. A short circuit will stop the flow of power, won't it? If I had a lamp, and if I plugged it into this outlet, and I turned it on and the light came on, but if I cut the cord, what's going to happen? The flow of power is going to stop going to that lamp. That lamp is going to stop lighting. The light's going to go out. You got to stay connected to God. So no one can do these signs unless God is with them. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look at verse 36. Did you know that miracles witness to who Jesus is? He said this, Jesus is talking, but I have as my witness something greater, weightier, higher, or better than that of John. For the works that the Father has appointed me to accomplish and finish, the very same works that I am now doing are a witness and a proof that the Father has sent me. When someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, it's proof that God loves them. Because when you're saved, you're accepted. When you're saved, you're redeemed. When you're saved, you're called out of darkness and you're brought into light. When you're saved, you get a brand new nature on the inside of you. You go from death to life like that. The minute you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you say bye-bye to darkness and you say hello to the light. The minute you say, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're translated. You're like from here to there, boom. So the very works that Jesus does, when someone gets healed, when someone gets delivered from addictions, you know, I believe that some chains were broken today. How many believe that? See, I believe that chains were broken today. Why did we do that? What prompted us to do that this morning? It was the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he sees the chains. I may not be able to see them, but he knows that the chains are there, and he hates chains because chains are associated with prisoners, and Jesus opens prison doors. Jesus breaks chains. Jesus removes burdens. People come to church with burdens all the time. Heavy, weighty burdens. You can tell when someone's been carrying burdens. It shows in their demeanor. It shows in their reaction. It shows in their expression of love. And God wants to break those things. So he moves in different ways. And verse 37, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Not one of you ever gives his ears to his voice or seen his form. You have always been deaf to his voice and blind to the vision of him. And you have not his word living in your hearts because you do not believe and adhere to and trust in and rely on him whom he has sent. That is why you do not keep the message living in you, because you do not believe the messenger whom he sent. Miracles will cause you to believe the messengers. Go to John chapter 6. This is after he fed the thousands with a couple pieces of fish and a couple pieces of bread or loaves of bread. Look at verse 14. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had performed, they began saying, surely, beyond a doubt, this is the prophet who is come into this world. So they began to recognize that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Now, they got overboard. Look at what happened. Verse 15. Then Jesus, knowing that they meant to come seize him, that they might make him king, withdrew again to the hillside himself alone. See, God's not going to be king through man's way. He's going to be king through God's way. Amen? God wants to do some things in our life. God wants to do some things in this church because God loves you. He cares about you. His heart breaks. You know, Jesus wept over places, over people. He wept because there were people without a shepherd. But these miracles, these signs, and these wonders testify to who Jesus is. They cause people to declare who God is. Amen? When we see God working, we ought to be declaring who God is. We ought to be saying today, He's my chain breaker. He's my deliverer. What is He to you? What do you need? You know, Jesus is a lot of things to a lot of people, but who is He to you? Well, if you have a great need at the moment, make Him your need. Whatever it is you need. I need more money because I don't have enough to pay my bills. Is God your provider? You got to see Him as your provider. You know, when He provides for you, that can be a miracle. Amen? Amen? Amen. Why am I saying? I want us to be expecting miracles, signs, and wonders to occur in our everyday life. Amen? I want to see change take place. I don't want people to have chains. I want them to be changed. There's a difference. You know, good news to a poor person. Jesus said, I've come to preach good news to a poor person. Well, what's good news to a poor person? If you're poor, what's good news? That you can have access to riches beyond your wildest dreams. What did God give Solomon? He said, Solomon, I want you to ask for anything. And I'll do it. So Solomon, he had just been named king of Israel. So he asked God, he said, God, I want to have wisdom to govern your people. And God said, you know, you've asked a good thing. Because you've asked for wisdom and not something for yourself, I'm also going to give you what? Riches and honor. See, good news to a poor person means that you have access to a heavenly Father, one who loves you, one who cares for you, one who provides for you, one who will clothe you, one who will house you. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what's going to happen? All these things, right? What things? The things that the Gentiles seek for. Houses, cars, clothes. Amen? God will give them to you. How many believe God will give it to you? If you mean that, say, I believe. God will give me things as long as I put Him first. Now, when you put Him second, don't blame God on your position or the results. God has to be first. Amen? John chapter 7. Verse 28. He said this. Whereupon Jesus called out as He taught in the temple porches, Do you know me? And do you know where I am from? I have not come on my own authority and of my own accord and self-appointed, but the one who sent me is true. And Him you do not know. I know Him because I come from His very presence. And it was He who sent me. Therefore they were eager to arrest Him, but no one laid a hand on Him, for His hour had not yet come. And besides this, many of the multitude believed on Him, and they kept saying, when Christ comes, He will do more miracles and produce more proofs and signs than what this man has done. And see, the Pharisees were getting jealous because they were learning that the people were leaning more towards Jesus than they were towards them. Religion will not recognize a miracle. How many know the story of the guy who was born blind? And Jesus' disciples asked him, they said, why was this man born blind? Because him or his father sinned or his mother sinned? And Jesus said, no, that the glory of God may be shown in him. And so Jesus came across him and Jesus healed him. And he was able to see. Now the Pharisees, they did not believe that that was a miracle. They thought that they were trying to, and he kept telling them, you know, he didn't know who healed him. He just knew that he was healed. And he began to tell the Pharisees. They said, a man who's not from God cannot do this. And the Pharisees said, well, are you trying to teach us? You're a sinner and we're the leaders of the law. See, God gets the glory when you get free. God gets the glory when you get saved. God gets the glory when you get healed. God gets the glory when you get joy. Amen? What does God have to do to prove to you that he's real? You know, I mentioned it before, but those who sought after a sign, they would tell Jesus, show us a sign that we might believe. And God would say, a wicked and evil generation seeks after a sign. God doesn't have to prove himself in that way. He does signs because he loves you. He doesn't do signs to prove that he loves you. You've got to accept that God loves you right now as you are. And you've got to accept that God loves you enough not to leave you like you are. God is going to expect you to grow in him. He's going to expect you to grow in the knowledge of God. But miracles help people realize that God is working. They help people see that he's the Messiah. Go to John chapter 12. And I'm almost to the end. John chapter 12. And at the end of the chapter there, verse 30. I'm sorry, go to verse 18. John 12, 18. This group had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. And in verse 18, for it was for this reason that the crowd went out to meet him because they had heard that he had performed this sign or this miracle. So miracles are like a dinner bell. How many remember when you're in high school and you're in your class and it's around lunchtime and your stomach is talking to you? It's grumbling, and all of a sudden, you hear a bell, right? The bell rings, and you're like, lunchtime, right? Well, see, miracles are like that bell. The bell gets your attention. It lets you know that it's time. Miracles attract people to come and hear the message. So the reason that God will do a miracle is he wants to get their attention. You know, God will move heaven and earth for a person. A person that is seeking the Lord, a person that is open to God, he will move heaven and earth for you to get your attention and to get others' attention. Because why? He wants so many people to join his family. Amen? He doesn't want people to miss out. So he does miracles, signs, and wonders. And let's go to one more, John chapter 20. Look at verse 30 and 31. These are also many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Do you realize that Jesus did more miracles than are recorded in the Gospels? He did more miracles than are recorded in the epistles. But those Verse 31, but those are written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through believing and cleaving and trusting and relying upon Him, you may have life through His name and through who He is or what He did. So miracles testify to who Jesus is. God is a miracle worker. Amen? And there's always a way out of the situations that you face in life. If you're lost, you can be found. God has a locator. He knows exactly how to locate you. And when you call upon Him, He said, I will save you and I will deliver you. Amen? And I think that if you're here today and you're not walking with the Lord like you should, you can turn things around right now. Amen? God wants you in a right relationship with Him. What's a right relationship with God? It's someone who has a relationship with God and His people. Everything that Jesus did was with people and for people. He ministered, yes, to the individual one-on-one. He talked with the woman at the well. But He also ministered to the crowds. So God can reach you in a group or He can reach you one-on-one. The point is, God wants to bring you close to Him. Amen? If you're here today and you want a closer walk with God, today is your day. Today is your day to take that step of faith and to say, God, I need you. See, you got to recognize that you need God. We need God in our life. We can't live without God. We can't succeed without God. Because ultimately, we're going to stand before God when it's all said and done. And He's going to say, what did you do with my son? And what did you do with my call? What did you do with my son? And what did you do with my call? I called you to some things. I gave you an assignment. Did you complete the assignment? God's keeping accounts of our life. Amen? And He just wants to show you how much He loves you. Whether you're young or whether you're not so young, God's got a plan for your life. You're living, you're breathing because God put you here on this earth for a divine assignment. And God wants to show you what that is. He wants to help you do it. See, many of you are at this church because you need an inheritance. Amen? I'm called to tell people what their inheritance is and how to find their treasure and inheritance in God's Word. I want you to connect with the miraculous. I want you to connect with the supernatural. I want you God wants you to ride on the high places of the earth. He took a group of unknowns. Some were fishermen. One was a tax collector. A couple were zealots. One was a thief. You realize that Jesus had a thief working for Him for 3 years? Or however long Judas was with Him? And He was so gracious with Judas. Judas got to see the miracles. Judas got to hear the message. But Judas never changed his heart. Don't be like Judas. Don't think that you can live this life without being connected to God. Amen? I want your light to shine brightly, so I want you to stay connected to God. So, God wants to help you to connect with the miraculous today. And it may be that there might still be some chains on people this morning that need to be broken. Would you come to Jesus today and have all your chains broken? Have all your excuses answered? You know, really, God has equipped us with everything we need to do what He wants us to do. We are fully equipped. There's no reason why we can't do what God wants us to do. We can't be who God wants us to be, and we can't go who God wants us to go. You know, Pastor Fiona and I, we knew no one in Palmyra. God took someone from Illinois and someone from South America, had them meet in Cleveland, Tennessee, and he led us to Pennsylvania, and through a series of events, we're here. God brought us here for such a time as this. Amen? And I'll tell you what, we love people. We want people to succeed. We want people to find their purpose. We want people to find your inheritance. We want you to be connected with the power of God. I'm not just saying words, but there's power to back this up. Amen? Amen. And if what I'm saying right now is touching your heart, I want you to come and respond to God. I want you to come and open up your heart to God so that he can fill it with his goodness. Amen? Maybe there are some people here who are empty inside, and you just need to be filled with God's grace and God's goodness. You know, because being filled is a way to be connected with God. Amen? There's things in life that can drain you of your life. God wants to free you so that you can live your life. So that you can really live for God. Let's really live for God today. Let's make a decision that I'm going to live for God, and nothing's going to distract me, nothing's going to stop me, nothing's going to keep me from doing what God wants me to do, being what God wants me to be. He's given us the miraculous. He's proved to us who he is. He doesn't need to do anything else, but now it's our turn. We've got to believe. We've got to act on faith. If that's you, I want you to be brave, and I want you to be bold, and I want you to come. Because God is going to touch you, and God is going to fill you, because he loves you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, the plans that God has for you, Miss Shirley, they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God has plans that his freedom will be enacted in your life. And he wants you to be a living, breathing, walking testimony of the goodness of God. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, maybe you don't know what God's will is for your life. Maybe you just need to know what God has for you. Come and get a revelation of his will for your life right now. In Jesus' name, Father, Lord, fill this vessel with gold, with your glory, and with your goodness, and with your grace. There's nothing that grace can't handle. Father, she needs to be filled right now with your power. And I thank you, Lord, for a miracle in her body in the name of Jesus. She has it right now. She is a miracle walking. Hallelujah. She's a miracle walking. And she's receiving the strength of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He is strengthening you. He is strengthening you. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says for the weak to say? Let the weak say, I'm what? Let the weak say, I'm strong. I want you to declare that right now. Say, in Jesus' name, I am strong because he makes me strong. Hallelujah. Now you just praise him for his strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.